Welcome to a Juno Afternoon for this Wednesday, February 15th, 2023. I'm Katie Bosler, your host for today's show. Coming up in the next hour, our first half is all about two exciting plays opening this weekend. First up, we'll chat with Ghostlight Theater director Richard Carter and two members of a big cast of actors for the play Puffs, which celebrates the underdogs at a Potteresque school of magic. Then Perseverance Theater artist, artistic director Leslie Ishii and a lead actor for their latest play will join me in the studio to discuss The Great Leap, about a street basketball player from San Francisco's Chinatown who joins an American team playing in China in the tumultuous late 1980s. In the second half, Lieutenant Craig Campbell will be here for this month's update from the Juneau Police Department. And finally, Mallory Nash from the UAS Alumni Association will get us inspired to jump in Ock Bay Harbor at the annual Polar Plunge this Saturday. All this and more coming up on this Juneau Afternoon. Let's take a look at the weather, shall we? Yeah, well, what we've got is rain here at sea level anyway, with a high near 38. Right now at the airport, it's 34 degrees. Overnight, rain showers before midnight, then rain and snow. Chance of precipitation, 70%. Chance of rain and snow before noon tomorrow, then rain likely, that high near 38. Rain and snow likely tomorrow night, Thursday night, low around 31. Just more rain and snow in that kind of that gradient, you know, high near 36, low around the low 30s. And if you want to find out what's going on at Eagle Crest, you can just go to forecast.weather.gov and then just punch in Eagle Crest for Alaska, and you'll find that the temperatures are a little lower up there, and there's a lot of snow. KTOO is honored to broadcast on Tlingit Ani. Our studios sit on fill that was once tideland and is the home of the Akwan Klinidi, or dog salmon people. We respect the Tlingit people for their care of this land and these waterways for thousands of years. From stories to the use of language, you'll hear a rising tide of Tlingit voices on KTOO. Gunashchish for your patience as we learn.
And grass. Ka eat with the shu yi, we kashuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin talk an a kaya ha an a kuk. Gunnish cheese.
Welcome to a Juneau Afternoon. I'm your host, Katie Bosler. Friday night, Ghostlight Theater opens a play that's been in the works since before the pandemic. Puffs follows a cast of characters at a Potteresque school of magic. And with me in the studio, actually not in the studio, they are on Zoom, all Zoom, director Richard Carter and actors Rachel Isla Foyla and Nomi Saxton. Great to have you all here.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Hello. Thanks for being here.
Okay. Hey, you're all loud and clear. This is so exciting to see your smiling remote faces. Well, Puffs is a play about seven increasingly eventful years at a certain school of magic and magic. It's an original play by playwright Matt Cox. It debuted in New York in 2015. Richard, this play... How does it play out, so to speak?
It's a great question. So like you mentioned, it's 7 increasingly eventful years at a certain school of magic and magic. So a lot of people are familiar with, you know, the story of a certain Potter wizard kid and his 7 years of romping through magical adventures. And this is kind of a sister story to that. And it's 7 years of what all the Puffs are up to at this school of magic. And it's led by a fantastic narrator, which is Val Kissel. And she just brings us through year by year, paints the scene. And then we have tons of fun with farcical doors opening and slamming and lots of wacky props and costumes, and it's a show that will warm your heart and make you cry a little bit and make you laugh a whole lot.
And you have quite a cast of characters. If you go to the Ghostlight website, it's all these great headshots. Is everybody kind of equal billing, or how does it work with this cast time, if you will?
Thank you. Yeah. Gosh, we have such a photogenic cast, and they're all so funny. They're beautiful people, very talented, and check out their headshots on our website, junoghostlight.com. We have kind of a pseudo lead trio in the show, which would be Becca Gagin, Roman Mahanyu, and Wendy Burns. But then we have other characters who are really carrying the burden of having to portray having to portray sometimes 10 characters across the course of the show. So even though they're not in that lead trio, they are on stage all the time, working their butts off. Everyone in this show deserves top billing. It really is a true ensemble show.
Now, Nomi and Rachel, you're both Puffs. Everybody's a Puff, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. And for the uninitiated or unfamiliar, what is a Puff?
Puffs are a group of students who are very loyal. They are very hardworking. They are often underappreciated and they get a bad rap. But they are heartwarming and they are doing their best.
So
they're close to the kitchens, which is great.
So they're the underdogs.
Yes.
This is all about celebrating the underdogs.
Yes.
It really is the underdog story. And when you come to see the show, you'll see that they are just, you know, out of the 4 houses, they're just hoping to not come in last. They want 3rd or nothing. And that's really their goal. So you'll see them work their butts off trying to learn magic and make their way through all of the treacherous events that happen at this school to just try to come out in not last place.
Got
it. A very earnest bunch.
Got it. Earnest and honest, it sounds like. Mm-hmm. And we have a couple of clips here that you've sent us. One is Lanny and one is Lockie. I have Lanny queued up here first. Do you want to set this up for me?
Sure, yeah. So like I mentioned, we have some actors in the show who play a whole slew of characters. One of them is Nomi. He plays somewhere around 10 characters. The other is Hedy Laverne, who plays just, I think, under that with like 9 characters or so. So Professor Lanny is the divinations teacher that's played by Hedy Laverne, and that's the first sound clip we have.
Students, a prediction for you today. One of you will find money in your pocket that you had forgotten was there. Then maybe you'll die. Ooh, the future.
And Hedy Laverne, wonderful. Once upon a time, Heather Laverne, and I know Heather and you, Richard, when you were students at UAS, when I worked there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and here you are. You started Ghostlight Theater, is that correct?
So we were a part of Juno Douglas Little Theater when it went through its rebranding to Juno Ghostlight Theater. Since, you know, Juno Douglas Little Theater had been around since the 60s, they used to have a small theater space. We lost the theater space, and because we became nomadic, a lot of people thought that we were a children's theater. They associated that with the word little. We tried to rebrand to kind of get away from that, and we are focusing now on doing a lot more contemporary works with, you know, some classics and Shakespeare type stuff thrown in there as well. Heather Laverne, name in life and stage name as well. Hedy Laverne is very talented comedic actor that you will see in the show portray a bunch of characters, and her character voices are just amazing.
And Nomi, you're playing a gazillion parts. Are there lots of costume changes here for those of you who are playing lots of different characters?
There are. I actually have 31 costume changes throughout the show.
You must have quite the assistance backstage.
We do, yeah. We have some really great backstage help, and we're definitely getting our cardio in. So,
sounds like this play is a workout.
It really is, which is yeah. good because I don't exercise enough.
So, Rachel, it sounds like you're feeling in better shape after all this rehearsal.
I am. I'm also learning how important stretching is. And I also have a lot of bruises that I didn't used to have because there's a lot of falling and flailing.
Yeah, there's a lot of physicality in the show, which is really great.
Oh, tell us about how you train for that, how you train for physical comedy without injuring yourself.
Trial and error.
It's a good question. No. I did hear from several people in the class, in the cast leading up to this process, say that they were going to, you know, find ways to work on their endurance so that when they're running from one side of the stage to the other to enter for their next scene, they wouldn't be winded when coming on stage. We start the rehearsals with physical and vocal warm-ups. We've done everything from stretching to working on diction and just being loose and free and comfortable in our bodies. And I think everyone in the cast kind of has their own little mantra or pre-rehearsal or pre-show exercise that they do to get in the right headspace and body space.
Yeah, I think for me, I know what my body can do and I know what it can't do. So I just try to make it look funny and not hurt myself. And so far, successful for all of us. No injuries.
It sounds like this has been quite a journey for the actors. Rachel or Nomi, whichever of you wants to take this or if you want to each take it one at a time. How is being part of this cast? It sounds like kind of a transformational experience. Is that too dramatic, as it were?
Yeah, so I was originally cast in this show just before COVID. And then COVID happened and we shut down. And it's just kind of been this ongoing process of it being on the back burner and us trying to figure it out and how it's going to work. And so now it's been 4 years in the making. And it feels like we're about to get off a very long bus ride.
A very long bus ride. I was also cast in the original cast. I think we did auditions February 2020, Memories. And I was supposed to leave Juno in 2021. I am still here because I really wanted to do the show. My parents thought that was a funny choice. But I think when people see it, they'll get why the show was so important to me.
And where did you come from?
I came from Massachusetts and I'm heading back. So.
Oh, you are. So this is so this is it. This is you are here for this show, and it's your debut and your swan song.
Yeah,
you know, go big and then go home.
Well, Richard, it sounds like this has been quite the journey as far as the auditions. Right as when COVID broke, why stick with something like this?
Well, a couple of us on the Juno Ghostlight board saw this off Broadway in New York a couple of years ago. And I think what really hit home for us was just over the course of the 7 years, every one of these characters has an arc. They have a way that they grow. They have ways that they bond with other people and friendships that they create. And so because their characters are supposed to do that through the course of the play, it also is a play that forces the actors to find ways to bond off stage so that they can bring that chemistry. So we could just tell that like the whole process of putting this play on would just be rewarding all around. Like we would be able to grow as a theater. Our cast would be able to grow, and presenting this to the Juno community, I think that they'll be able to take away from it something meaningful like we did.
So it sounds like a watershed moment for Ghostlight Theater as well.
We'll see.
Well, I know I want to see it. Is this suitable for young children, families?
So it's PG-13. For the people out there who are looking to see a play that has, you know, some vulgar language and some sexual innuendo and, you know, maybe a couple of little raunchy moments here or there, I want to make sure that I convey to them that this has those, you know, adult comedy, that adult humor in it. But we are marketing it as PG-13. I know that if I had kids, I would feel free to bring them. We have a couple of people on the production team and friends of the theater who have brought kids in to see the show and have felt comfortable with what we're putting on stage. There will be a matinee show on Saturday, February 25th at 2 p.m. That will be made. It's there's a discount for families, and that will be made more appropriate. But otherwise, there is language and innuendo.
And this is happening at Thunder Mountain High School stage.
Yes.
Yeah. And is that the Ghostlight stage now, or is the reason why you've chosen Thunder Mountain?
Oh, well, working with Bo Anderson at Thunder Mountain is just like heaven. he is an amazing talent, and Juno's lucky to have him. So that was one of the big reasons that we picked that stage.
He's the stage manager there?
He's the auditorium manager for both JDHS and TMHS, I believe. And so we have his support while we're using that space, which is great. Juno Ghostlight Theater remains nomadic, so we choose a venue depending on what seems most appropriate for the show.
But if anyone wants to, you know, just build us a stage, give us a stage, we wouldn't say no.
Rachel, will you come back to Juno to be in another Ghostlight production?
Listen, have I already talked to my parents about this? Yes. Am I emotionally preparing them for me to come back here? I'm trying. I love working with this group of people. I'm lucky to say most of the board are my closest friends in Juno. And I think working with this cast has been absolutely wonderful. I do think we've bonded. I think we love being silly together. And it will definitely make it harder to leave, but just such a worthwhile experience. And I think that it's a kind of show that Juno doesn't get a lot of. And it's at a really good time, because I feel like February is when we all kind of hit our seasonal depression wall. So everyone should just come laugh with us.
Opening night, Friday night at the Thunder Mountain High School Auditorium at 7:30, right?
Yes. And
or no, Sundays
are paid.
7 o'clock. 7 o'clock. Okay. And Nomi, I think the other clip I have here, the one for Lockie, is this with you?
It is, yes.
Okay, let's hear that real quick here.
Students, just a fun-filled reminder that I'll be signing copies of my new book this Thursday in the library. Bring a quill, bring a camera, and I'll bring a smile. Thank you.
This sounds like so much fun, and it's been so wonderful talking to just a couple of members of this strong ensemble, both on and off stage. Is there anything that any of you would like to add for our listening audience about the premiere of Puffs happening Friday night?
Yeah, absolutely. If I could just name our cast real quick: Jackie Boucher, Wendy Burns, Becca Gagin, Rachel Iafola, Val Kissel, Hedy Laverne, Roman Mahanyu, Joshua Midget, Nomi Saxton, Sarah Wallace, and Tai Yamaoka. Again, very talented. Check out our website for their headshots, and bios will be up soon. A digital program will be up soon. And then I just wanted to add one final thing that this is a Potter-esque show, but our theater separates itself from a certain author and book series, and just want to make it known that this show, not a single cent in producing this show, goes toward a certain author who has viewpoints that our theater doesn't agree with. So we are an open and inviting space. We hope everyone comes out to see the show.
Director Richard Carter and actors Rachel Ilafola and Nomi Saxton, thank you so much for joining us on Journey.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Katie.
Telling us all about this great show. And we'll see you on stage.
Bye.
Bye.
Puffs opens Friday, February 17th at the Thunder Mountain High School Auditorium stage and closes Sunday, March 5th. All shows are at 7 p.m. except the matinee on February 25th at 2 p.m. And in case you missed last weekend's Alaska Theater Festival of Radio Plays, co-produced by KTOO and Theater Alaska in association with Ghostlight Theater, you can find the links to listen on the KTOO homepage at ktoo.org. The plays are Dracula and the Case of the Careless Client from Ghostlight Theater and Reeling and the Beginning of Eagle from Theater Alaska. Coming up in our next statement, folks from Perseverance on their next play, also premiering this weekend, The Big Leap.
What's his name? Where is he going?
Come on.
One time, while I was fishing around the lake, I found an old dirty sock. And I thought, oh, I got a new old dirty sock. But then when I looked upon it, at further inspection, I found it was just some ordinary dirty sock. It belonged to the headmaster, so I kept it forever and ever. Finally, I ate all the flavored beans.
Jay Finch, finching around. Finching himself, Jay Finch, Finch in the world, Finching you, the Finch me too. I love flavored beans, the Finch me too.
My favorite spell is literally things,
the Finch me too.
The AA meeting of
the Finch me too.
I'm boyish and fun,
the Finch me too.
Looks like he had a side.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Friday night also opens the next Perseverance theater play for this season, The Great Leap. This comedy by Lauren Yee is about a street basketball player, a legend in San Francisco's Chinatown, hence The Best here by Tina Turner from 1989 when this play takes place. He's a legend in San Francisco's Chinatown. He talks his way onto an American team that travels to China in the late 80s. And with me in the studio are Perseverance Theater Artistic Director Leslie Ishii, who is also directing this production, and actor Morgan, yes, Morgan Gwim So, who plays the lead, Manford Lum. Great to have you both here.
Oh, thanks so much for having us. It's always a pleasure to be here at the KTOO studios on the Juno Afternoon program.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. I understand this play is about much more than basketball. Can you give us kind of the the nutshell synopsis. I gave kind of just the one-liner there myself in the intro.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we love this play on the Perseverance Theater team because we know how beloved basketball is in so many villages with our youth. We have champions here in the state, right?
Sure.
So we wanted to lift up all of those folks and the legacy of basketball in Alaska. So yes, it's about this young basketball player who's just a real rabble rouser and he works his way onto that team. He's passionate. And it's really fun to see. Look, folks, we got some basketball going on stage. And but also how he's working as a Chinese American to really figure out how to get back and connect with his own people in the motherland. And basketball is this incredible vehicle. And, you know, we've heard in history many different periods of history for China around their cultural revolution and different post-cultural revolution, all the different stages of that. So it's a great exploration of that. And here we are in time talking about surveillance and the control of governmental control, you know. And
what timing?
This balloon. Well, I promise you, we didn't coordinate to do
it. We didn't know about the balloon.
We did. This was happenstance.
And you didn't have the great leap at Perseverance Theater on the balloon.
No, we did not. But I just also love the title because, yes, the great leap forward is we're all working to maintain democracy. And they were working then to make that great leap to democracy from communism. And then you get to experience these great characters who, oh my gosh, the deep humanity of these characters, right, and how they're making great leaps in their own lives.
Yeah. And just to clarify that, so it's a takeoff on Mao Zedong's campaign that he called the Great Leap Forward. This is back in the late 50s, early 60s. And it was really a disastrous attempt to shift China from agrarian to a modern economy.
That's right. Yeah. The capitalism that really spurred on industrialism and from that, that agricultural, you know, incredible. I mean, look at the incredible landscape of China and all the agriculture going on and that struggle to move toward industrialization. So it, that we're going in the weeds a little more, but really,
well, Morgan,
the backdrop.
You're the rabble rouser and you're this character. You're a descendant of Chinese immigrants, I assume, in this.
Plan. Yeah. So in the, show. I mean, family is a big part of it. And who is his family? And where does he come from are big questions that are asked. We do hear about his mom, who has passed away right at the beginning, right before the play begins. And she came from China. And there's all sorts of motivations about why he wants to go back there. The connection to his cousin as well, who has been to China herself. And sort of her experiences there and like, you know, feeling like she's seen herself or hasn't seen herself there and this kind of conversation about Chinese versus Chinese American, which is something that I, as a Chinese American, have had myself as well. And so there's a lot of layers to it and a lot of really interesting kind of conversations and emotions that come out of that.
So the play opens, you're this kind of cocky star street basketball player.
Yes.
And then, but then you undergo a transformation and you, as part of that, you talk your way onto this team.
Yeah. So I wouldn't say he necessarily undergoes like a transformation from being cocky.
That's true. He kind of remains cocky.
He kind of stays that. Okay. And that's the whole thing. But yeah, he starts off, he's a high school student. He's in his senior year. He's about to graduate. But he wants to join this college team that's going to Beijing to play. And so it's a mix of his, like the big conflict that right at the beginning, as he's trying to talk his way onto the team, is that he is very bold, he is very loud, he's very annoying to the coach, but he's also really good at basketball. So it's trying to find that balance, and the coach is like, oh, what am I going to do here? And it's a lot of fun.
It sounds like it. Now you had to train to at Gastineau School, as I understand.
Yes, we did. We had a couple of actual like just full 4-hour practices with our incredible basketball consultant, Jared Olin.
Jared Olin.
Man for all things. Huh?
Yeah. Right.
Actor, performer, basketball extraordinaire. And so, yeah, I mean, like I grew up not really playing basketball other than like, you know, playground stuff. And, you know, I followed it a little bit. I'm from mm-hmm. Seattle. And so, you know, we have the Seattle Storm. We had the Seattle Supersonics, rest in peace. And yes. So I kind of grew up with some connection to basketball, but certainly not playing it to the level that, you know, I needed to have in my body for this play. And so we had practices and we had all this stuff. And
so do you feel like something of a basketball player
now? You know, I tell myself that I'm going to go back home and go to the community YMCA courts and just kind of like crush people. But I'm realizing, well, like Troy Bolton, stage basketball is a little bit different than real life basketball.
Although I have to say, he's taken it on and he's extraordinary. No, truly, he was athletic already. Mm-hmm. But oh my gosh, believe me, you'll go, he's a basketball player. And Jared Olin, who was our artistic apprentice last season, he came on. And I learned he played competitively in high school around Alaska, which we know you got to have game, right? Mm-hmm. He's got game. So I asked him to consult and he was like, sure. And then OMG, the practices to watch him just be so facile. He dribbles between his legs. He does all this. I mean, Jared's all over this play and through Morgan, it's a beautiful, beautiful partnership mm-hmm. that occurred. And it's fun. It's so much fun.
So, Morgan, you're from Seattle. You recently graduated in theater from Stanford University. Mm-hmm. And did you ever, a year ago, think you were going to be in Juneau, Alaska, in a play, learning how to be a basketball star, among other things?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, for one, you don't really graduate with an acting degree and be like, oh yeah, I'm going to be acting right away. So that's been, it's been lovely to be able to be a part of a project so soon after that.
How did you make your way here? How did that happen?
Honestly, just the smallness of the Asian American theater community. Leslie is a friends with a man named Roger Tang, who is also a Stanford alum. And like the godfather of Asian American theater, like mm-hmm. very amazing man. And I know him from Stanford stuff, as well as he's also based in Seattle. And so I've met him a couple of times. And he connected us up. I got like a request to audition and here I am.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, but still the basketball is a kind of a plot device. This is about mm-hmm. much more than basketball. Mm. Tell us about what else it's about.
Well,
or what it addresses.
Yeah, thank you. Well, it starts out really setting up this rivalry between the coaches, the USA coach and the Chinese coach. And
so those are the other two main characters, are the two coaches.
Mm-hmm. So through that rivalry, Saul Slezak, the U.S. coach from University of San Francisco, had claims that he went to China on a visit in the early 70s and he brought basketball to China. Yeah, he's very prideful about that. He's got some bragging rights. But then the Chinese coach, Wen Chang, basically says, no, wait a minute. That's not right. So that kind of begins. Saul really helps him come into his career as a coach. And then this is a friendship match kind of 18 years later. This rivalry has been going on and it culminates with this game.
Yeah. But it also takes place during a real time of stress and tragedy mm-hmm. in China, mm-hmm. the Tiananmen Square massacre in the summer of 1989.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work into this script?
Yeah, it's you know, Lauren Yee, this playwright, often will bring in some kind of a cultural liberation event in her plays, and it brilliantly weaves in, and it just sort of juxtaposes the immigrant, the Chinese American or Asian American, versus what's happening in the motherland, and in this case that we talked about that great leap. And here, the U.S. is kind of got a tense relationship, but it's just starting back kind of through sports. So it's really interesting to see those international relations and how in our histories it's come through sports and these different exchanges. So we get to look at the control of the Communist Party over people, what that looks like with this coach, this Chinese coach, and the freedom that the U.S. coach has to kind of run his mouth and do with his teammates to be the best, you know? So that freedom versus that control. And what does it mean for folks to gather that courage to advocate for themselves and make that great leap for what's best for their own lives?
And this is so timely on many levels, least of all the relationship between the United States and China, but also some of the tensions in our own country right now,
yes,
politically and societally.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So it's based on Lauren Yee's father story,
yes,
that he was a street basketball player.
Mm-hmm. In San Francisco Chinatown. And I was actually going to school at the American Conservatory Theater. And those leagues were still going on. And actually during the time of the uprising in Tiananmen Square.
American Conservatory Theater in San Francisco,
mm-hmm,
where I took acting classes when I was a kid.
What?
Yeah. Yes, full disclosure. And I went to San Francisco State University, and I spent a lot of time in Chinatown.
Yes.
With my roommate, Matt Lee, who was a Chinese-American and a great cook, and we just loved to hang out there on the weekends. And Do you bring in to this play that feeling of Chinatown, you know, the storefronts with the vegetables, and you walk in the store and there's not just fish, but there's fish swimming around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there'll be a little touch of that. Mm-hmm. But I think what's wonderful, and what I love about Lauren's work too, is, you know, there's often stereotypes about how Asian Americans are depicted, whether mm-hmm. it's in theater or on screen, mm-hmm. in a certain particular way. And we can kind of lean, sometimes it gets a little stereotypic. But what I love about this is you'll see the culture, you'll see ways of life through the way folks relate to each other, mm-hmm. as sort of like, you know, almost like cousins, a family, you know, and traditions. We'll have a little bit of imagery there, but it's mostly through the relationships, which I love.
Yeah, this sounds like this play just has so much depth to it, mm-hmm. and it addresses some really timely themes and on so many levels. So good on you
for getting
this to Juno, Douglas.
Yeah, I want to add that through those little bit of cross-cultural kind of scenes and the characters, you know, clashing a bit, there's a tremendous amount of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait for you all to experience the humor.
Yeah. I feel like we've been talking about all the really intense, you know, like politics and family and all these deep topics, but it is a really funny play.
Okay. With your character, Manford Morgan, mm-hmm. is there a point that you have to really kind of stand up for yourself or what you believe?
Mm-hmm. I think the entire play has him really fighting for himself and fighting for agency. Mm-hmm. And like from the very first moment, like his first line, which come to the play and learn what that is. he is advocating for himself, and he is standing up for his ability and what he can bring to the table in that first scene, trying to convince the coach to let him join. And his arc kind of throughout the entire show is just this battle of trying to find himself and trying to prove to everyone, you know, that he is the best and that he deserves to be here and all of these things. And so it is a lot of just like power to him and having to like allowing him to take control of his life and have agency in his life, mm-hmm. Which, as you'll learn, he really has not had for a lot of it.
All right. And there is a preview tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yes. 7:30. Come on down, y'all.
Yeah.
Let's pay what you can. And we'd love to see you there.
I think I'm going to.
Heck yeah.
You got to. That'd be great to see you there.
But it opens on Friday night,
mm-hmm.
at 7:30.
Yes.
The 17th.
Mm-hmm.
And runs through March 5th. It's the same dates as our Puffs.
Yes. And first of all, we want to send all our love and blessings for their success too. How wonderful we have a richness of theater in Juno. And I also want to give a shout out to Boston.
Mm.
Oh, yes.
He's an all-star player on our team still.
Mm-hmm.
And we're rooting for him.
So
he's with us all the way. Yeah.
You hear that, Boston? All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in, Morgan and Leslie Ishii, and Morgan, who is the lead here in The Great Leap. So that is a Perseverance Theater in the UAA Department of Theater and Dance will present The Great Leap on the Perseverance main stage starting Friday, February 17th through Sunday, March 5th, performing in Anchorage also at the UAA Arts Building, March 17th through the 26th.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. So you're going to be both here in Juneau, Douglas, and Anchorage in the same time frame.
Yeah, well, we'll have just
touring production.
Yeah, just shy of 2 weeks to transfer up there.
All right. Well, thank you both so much for coming in, and all the best with The Great Leap.
Thank you so much.
We'll go out with a little B-52s from 1989 about roaming around the world. And coming up in the second half of the show, we'll check in with Lieutenant Craig Campbell from the Juneau Police Department and get inspired to jump in Auk Bay Harbor this weekend at the 25th annual Polar Plunge. Welcome back to a Juneau Afternoon. Joining me now is Lieutenant Craig Campbell from the Juneau Police Department. He's here to tell us about Alaska High Intensity Drug Trafficking Areas Program and hashtag Save a Life AK campaign that was created by Congress with the Anti-Drug Abuse Act of 1988. And Lieutenant Campbell, thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you here. So tell us about this. It sounds like it's pretty important.
Yeah, so the campaign started in January of this year. It's part of an ongoing media campaign from Alaska HIDA that is really just trying to get the word out to community members about the effects of fentanyl, the dangers of fentanyl, and just how prevalent it is becoming in our communities.
Yeah. Now, this is in the news a lot lately. It's a national crisis. Is Juneau no exception to that?
That's correct. We're seeing it in Juneau. We've seen an increase in the past year and a half. And, you know, like anything, sometimes it just takes a little bit longer to get here, but it has come here, and we're seeing it pretty routinely get into the community.
Yes. So this is a national program, this high intensity drug trafficking areas. How does it work?
Yeah. So HIDA is a program that basically allows funding to local, state, and federal law enforcement throughout Alaska and actually throughout the country. There's just different HIDA programs or HIDA initiatives, what they call them. And what it is, it's different law enforcement agencies working together, because alone we can't combat all the drugs trafficking that's going on in Southeast Alaska. Every agency is just a little bit too small. But if you work together, you can pool your resources, you can pool funding, and the funding can come through HIDA. And it allows us to better investigate these type of crimes and, you know, kind of put a somewhat of a stop to some of the drug flow that's coming into the towns.
So can you give me an example of this in action?
Yeah. So here in Juneau, we are one of the task force here in Juneau is called CCAD. It stands for Southeast Alaska Communities Against Drugs. And it's housed here in Juneau, but we have people all over Southeast Alaska. So there's officers in Ketchikan, Sitka, Petersburg, and even some of the local law enforcement in Southeast that are maybe small. They don't have someone specifically assigned to drug crimes. They do have people that work with CCAD, which is our drug unit for Southeast Alaska. So, for example, let's say Ketchikan gets information that there's a drug activity going on in Ketchikan that seems like it's pretty big, and they're going to need a lot of resources to investigate it. Mm-hmm. So officers from Juneau and Sitka could actually come together, fly down to Ketchikan. They all work together. We can get members of the FBI, the Drug Enforcement Agency. And now where you might have only two assigned investigators, now you've got 10 together working together, and you can pool equipment, you can pool resources, all those things that it takes really to investigate these types of crimes allows us to work together.
Mm-hmm. So as far as dealing with community members who are coming into contact with fentanyl. How do you deal with that?
You know, a lot of it is just trying to get the word out to community members that just the dangers of fentanyl, you know, just what we see, you know, fentanyl, if you're not familiar with it, it's 100 times more potent than morphine, 50 times more potent than heroin. So it can be very dangerous. And that's how you can get overdoses because the high potency of it.
And is this something that people are being sold? They think they're getting heroin. They think they're getting morphine, but they're not? Is that how this happens?
Yeah, typically. So the fentanyl can be in a liquid form. It can be a powdered form. It can even be made into its own like synthetic, like a pill. So someone could be thinking they're buying heroin, but it's now laced with fentanyl, or they're buying methamphetamine, cocaine, it's laced with fentanyl, or drug manufacturers are just making fake pills. Like the ones we most commonly see are the fake oxycodone, and it's the M30 pill. They're blue and round. Mm-hmm. And so people are thinking that maybe they're getting this other type of drug, mm-hmm. but drug manufacturers have now laced it with this other drug to give it like an intense high. And that's where it can become lethal.
And is this something that can be ameliorated with a Narcan dose?
Yeah. So Narcan is a drug. It also stands for, I think it's naloxone. I'm going to probably announce it wrong.
Naloxone, but, I think. Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. a drug that temporarily reverses the effects of an overdose from fentanyl. Mm-hmm. And you can get Narcan from several different agencies within Juneau. I think Search is giving them out, BRH, JAMI, yes. Glory Hall, all those places. Because we realize that the sooner you can give someone Narcan after an overdose, you could actually save a life. So they're really trying to distribute that out to people who may be using these type of drugs. Or if you maybe live with someone who has a drug problem, or you have family members have a drug problem, those things can save people's lives.
And that's what you're all about. With this program. Lieutenant Campbell, is there anything else you'd like to tell us about this high-intensity drug trafficking areas program, Save a Life, AK, is the hashtag?
Yeah, two things. One was just, you know, we need everybody's help for receiving drug tips, getting information in about who's dealing drugs within Juneau or Southeast Alaska. And within Juneau, we have Juneau Crime Line, that you can get online, you can submit tips through them, or you can download their free app. It's called P3 Tips. Or if someone's listening and they don't live in Juneau, but they live in Southeast Alaska, the state of Alaska has a tip software called AK Tips, and they also have an app too, so you can get online and submit tips as well. And then the other thing I was just going to mention that, you know, any pill that someone's buying or any type of drug someone's buying that's not coming from, you know, a doctor or a pharmacy, mm-hmm. you should just assume that it's probably going to be containing fentanyl, and just to be careful.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, yeah. Lieutenant Campbell. And just one more time, can you give us that address for tips?
Yes. It's going to be JunoCrimeLine.com or AK Tips. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming in for your monthly visit here on a Juneau Afternoon.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. Take care.
All right. You too. Welcome back to a Juneau Afternoon. I'm Katie Bosler, your host for today. With me in the studio is Mallory Nash from the University of Alaska Southeast. She is the Student Engagement and Leadership Manager, and Andrew Schultz, who is a student at UAS. Thank you both for coming in today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
So, 25th Annual Polar Plunge.
Ooh. Yeah, I know.
Not to be confused with, there was a community polar plunge mm-hmm. that happens in January. This is the annual one at UAS.
Yes, correct.
Okay. Yep. Where you jump into?
Arc Bay Harbor.
Arc Bay yeah. Harbor. Yep. Okay. And can you wear whatever you want?
Yeah, absolutely. We encourage costumes.
You got to wear something.
Yeah. But we encourage costumes. You can wear a swimsuit, whatever you feel comfortable wearing. And yeah, jump in.
Andrew, what are you wearing?
Probably just like a full wetsuit. I'm going to go like all in and like just like minimize the discomfort because I'm, okay. I'm kind of a coward.
Okay. Good to know. You can wear a wetsuit. So it's amazing. This has been going on for 25 years.
Yeah.
And so for those of you who have been wanting to do this on kind of a milestone, this is your chance. Where and when do people show up to jump into Auk Bay Harbor?
Yeah. So this Saturday, we're going to be at Auk Bay Harbor and we're going to have some games and hot tubs and some soup and hot dogs.
Oh, oh.
And
Well, you just kind of mentioned their hot tubs.
The hot tubs have been key this year.
Talk
Everybody's
about
really
an
excited.
Incentive.
Right. Jump in the water. If you jump, you get to get in the hot tub. So you won't be able to spend all afternoon in it, but you'll be able to get in and warm up and, yeah, say that you did it, grab a medal. And, yeah, so it's Saturday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. So, yeah.
Now, the hot tubs, are these portable hot tubs?
I've actually never seen them because this is my first year to plan it with mm-hmm. the hot tubs. Last year, we didn't get to use them because of COVID. But thankfully, this year, we're bringing them. And I'm pretty sure they're portable. And I think they're blow-up type.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. This is a new phenomenon that I just became aware of with some friends talking to who, I guess you could get them at Costco.
I was just about to say, I think Costco sells them. So,
So Andrew, as a UAS student, how did you get involved in this whole phenomenon?
Well, the first job I had on campus, I was a reporter for the Whale Song, which is the student newspaper. And through that, I met Mallory, who would talk to me about SAB. And I would have a couple friends on the board who were just like doing these amazing things on campus, putting together these events that everybody in the campus community just loves. And I thought, I think I can really bring something to this. And so I asked Mallory if I could apply. She said yes. And then the rest is history.
Okay. Now, in addition to the whole Polar Plunge hot tub extravaganza from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Auk Bay Harbor, there's also a couple of other shoulder events.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tell us about those.
So these are kind of exclusive to the UAS community. The whole Juno community can come and jump and do the Polar Plunge and all that. Afterwards, for UAS students, we have a bonfire up at Noyes Pavilion on campus and then a skate night after that. So it's a whole night of fun that we got planned. It's been going strong for 25 years, and I think it's going to be a blast.
So if you want to get involved, you need to register.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that?
Yeah, so they can go online to our website or they can go onto our Instagram page. That would probably be the easiest way to do it, at UAS Engage. That's our handle. And we have our link tree there that they can go to register. We have it one of the first links that you can go to. So, yeah.
And you sign a waiver.
You do. You sign a waiver to jump into the ocean.
Mm-hmm. And then it's kind of, for students, it's kind of a marathon, because after this whole fun at Auk Bay Harbor, then they get to do the s'mores at the the pavilion and the bonfire.
Right.
And that's
just on campus.
Yes, that'll be at 7 p.m.
7 p.m. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you head to Douglas to go ice skating.
Yes, at 9 p.m. I know. It'll be a long day.
Okay. So those of you who are procrastinating finishing that paper, you want to carve out time for this fun.
Absolutely.
On Saturday.
Yeah, that paper can wait. You got to come and get involved and have fun with everybody else.
It's balance.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, I want to thank you both so much for coming in to tell us about the Polar Plunge. Mallory Nash, who works at UAS, you're the Student Engagement and Leadership Manager,
mm-hmm.
and Andrew Schultz, who is a student and a student journalist, and likes to get fellow students out there to have some fun.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you. That'll do it for Juno Afternoon, broadcast live from Linkanani on KTOO 104.3 FM, KUK 91.7, and online at KTOO.org, with a rebroadcast tonight at 7 o'clock this evening. I've been your host today, Katie Bosler, and it's been my absolute pleasure. To listen to interviews, see links to anything we discussed, or be on the show yourself, you can check out our website at KTOO.org/JunoAfternoon. Juno Afternoon is a production of the KTOR Arts and Culture team. We had help today from Boston Christopher, Aaron Tripp, and Shelley Delaney. Our opening and closing theme music is by Indian Agent.